What if you could reduce CO2 emissions in steelmaking by up to 95%? It's not a theoretical question. New green hydrogen technology is making it a reality, potentially transforming one of the world's most carbon-intensive industries. But with these opportunities come new competitive pressures and supply chain risks. So, where should Western companies be placing their bets? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're focusing on the rapid acceleration of the hydrogen economy. The conversation is moving from potential to deployment, with major implications for energy, manufacturing, and logistics.
Exactly. We'll start with a major efficiency breakthrough in Germany that could slash the cost of green hydrogen. Then we'll look at how this is being applied in the real world, with massive green steel projects coming online in Sweden.
We'll also analyze a key acquisition in the fuel cell market, where Ballard Power Systems is shifting its entire business model towards integrated services.
And finally, we'll cover the significant investment hurdle emerging in Europe, as fragmented regulations create uncertainty for hydrogen project developers. Let's get started. Troy, we see headlines about green hydrogen breakthroughs all the time. But a report from July 2nd highlights German researchers at the Fraunhofer Institute achieving a record 31.3% efficiency. Why is this specific number so important?
This is significant because it relates to direct solar to hydrogen conversion. Instead of using solar panels to generate electricity that then powers a separate electrolyzer, this system integrates the two. They've combined high-efficiency solar cells directly with proton exchange membrane, or PEM, electrolysis technology.
So it's a more streamlined process. What does that efficiency number, 31.3%, actually mean for the cost of producing a kilogram of hydrogen?
It means a substantial reduction in energy loss. Every percentage point of efficiency you gain in the conversion process directly lowers the levelized cost of hydrogen. While we don't have a final dollar figure, a leap like this makes decentralized, off-grid hydrogen production far more commercially viable, much faster than previously projected.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers who are looking to decarbonize their operations?
For manufacturers, particularly in hard-to-abate sectors like chemicals or high-temperature heat processes, this accelerates the timeline for affordable on-site green hydrogen. A U.S. or German factory could deploy these integrated systems, reducing reliance on volatile natural gas prices and complex hydrogen transport infrastructure. It creates an opportunity for greater energy independence.
And what should trading companies and distributors be watching? Is this a technology to source or a trend to monitor?
For now, it's a trend to monitor closely. This is a research-level benchmark. Trading companies should be tracking which firms license this Fraunhofer technology first. The key is market timing, identifying the moment these integrated systems move from pilot to commercial scale, which could be within the next 3 to 5 years. That's when you'll want to establish partnerships for distributing these modular production units.
So what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
Executives, particularly in manufacturing and energy, should direct their R&D and strategic partnership teams to evaluate direct solar to hydrogen technologies. They need to model the long-term cost implications of on-site production versus purchasing hydrogen from a centralized supplier. This German breakthrough just made that calculation much more urgent.
Let's move from the lab to the factory floor. We're seeing multiple reports about green steel, specifically a new H2DRI plant model unveiled by a company called Stegra in Boden, Sweden. What exactly is H2DRI?
H2DRI stands for hydrogen-based direct reduced iron. It's the core process for making green steel. Instead of using coking coal in a blast furnace to remove oxygen from iron ore, a process that emits massive amounts of CO2, H2DRI uses green hydrogen. The only byproduct is water vapor, cutting emissions by up to 95%.
And the scale of this Stegra project seems enormous. The announcement from June 30th mentions a 700-megawatt electrolyzer. Put that into perspective for us.
A 700-megawatt electrolyzer is monumental. For context, many of the commercial projects coming online now are in the 5 to 25-megawatt range. This plant alone will produce 2.5 million tons of green steel annually. It validates that green steel is now a commercial-scale industrial reality.
How does this Swedish project immediately affect U.S. and European automotive or heavy equipment manufacturers?
This creates both a competitive threat and a supply chain opportunity. European manufacturers, particularly in Germany and the Nordics, will have first access to a commercial supply of green steel. This allows them to build products with a verifiable low carbon footprint, which is a powerful marketing tool and a requirement for meeting ESG mandates. U.S. manufacturers will be at a disadvantage until domestic green steel production, like the projects in the Heartland Hydrogen Hub, can match this scale.
So what should Western trading companies and distributors do? Is there an opportunity to secure the supply?
Absolutely. Trading companies specializing in industrial materials should be initiating conversations with Stigra and similar projects like Hybrid in Sweden immediately. The goal is to secure offtake agreements now for future supply. They need to become the bridge that connects these new European green steel producers with U.S. and other international buyers who are desperate to secure low-carbon materials for their own supply chains.
What is the single most important action for an executive to consider from this development?
Executives in any industry that uses steel must update their materials procurement strategy. They need to quantify the green premium they are willing to pay for low-carbon steel and begin integrating suppliers like Stegra into their sourcing network. Waiting until this material is widely available means you will already be behind your European competitors.
Shifting to corporate strategy, we saw a flurry of news around Canadian fuel cell maker Ballard Power Systems acquiring UK-based GeoPura. Multiple reports from late June and early July confirmed the deal. Why is this acquisition significant?
It's significant because it signals a fundamental shift in Ballard's business model. Historically, Ballard has been a component supplier. They design and manufacture fuel cell modules. By acquiring GeoPura, which provides entire hydrogen power units for off-grid sites, Ballard is vertically integrating. They are moving from just selling the engine to selling the entire car, plus the fuel.
They're calling it an energy as a service, or EaaS model. What does that mean in practice?
It means, instead of a one-time sale of a fuel cell, they will offer a complete turnkey power solution. This includes hydrogen generation, logistics, refueling, and the fuel cell power unit itself, likely on a lease or pay-per-use basis. GeoPura already does this for construction sites and outdoor events in the UK. Ballard plans to scale this model globally.
For US and European manufacturers who might use backup power or operate in remote locations, what does this change?
It dramatically lowers the barrier to entry for adopting hydrogen power. A U.S. manufacturer building a new facility doesn't need to become a hydrogen infrastructure expert. They can sign a service contract with a new Ballard GeoPura entity to get reliable, zero-emission stationary power. This is a direct, cleaner alternative to the diesel generators many sites rely on today.
And for trading companies or equipment distributors?
This is a signal to pivot. Distributors who have traditionally sold diesel generators should be seeking partnerships with companies like Ballard. The market is shifting from capital equipment sales to service-based contracts. They need to build the capability to support EaaS models, which involve service, maintenance, and potentially hydrogen logistics.
So, what's the actionable takeaway here for leadership?
If you are an executive in a company that relies on off-grid or critical backup power, you should reevaluate your long-term energy contracts. The emergence of hydrogen EaaS providers means you now have a viable, scalable, zero-emission option. It's time to request proposals for these service-based solutions to compare against your current fossil fuel-based costs and emissions footprint.
Finally, Troy, let's talk about policy. While all this technology is moving forward, a July 3rd report from Arcus Media highlights a major roadblock in Europe, the fragmented transposition of the EU's Renewable Energy Directive, or RED III. Can you break that down?
Certainly. RED III is the master framework the EU created to drive renewable energy adoption, including green hydrogen. Transposition is the process where each of the 27 member states translates that EU directive into its own national law. The problem is, they are all doing it differently.
What kind of differences are we seeing, and why does it matter?
The inconsistencies are in critical areas. For example, what legally qualifies as green hydrogen? The rules around additionality, which require hydrogen to be produced from new renewable power sources, and how grid electricity can be used. This fragmentation creates a confusing and uncertain regulatory landscape for any company looking to invest billions of euros in a new hydrogen project.
How does this regulatory mess specifically affect a U.S. manufacturer planning a new factory in Europe?
It creates significant risk. A U.S. company might build a plant in, say, Spain, assuming its hydrogen supply will be certified as green and eligible for subsidies. But if they plan to export their final product to Germany, it's possible German law won't recognize that certification. This could subject their goods to carbon tariffs or disqualify them from green procurement contracts. It makes site selection and supply chain planning a nightmare.
And for trading companies looking to move hydrogen or hydrogen-derived fuels like ammonia across Europe?
It's a direct threat to their business model. A pan-European hydrogen market cannot function efficiently if the product's legal definition changes every time it crosses a border. This uncertainty complicates contracts, undermines investment in cross-border pipelines and import terminals, and ultimately slows down the entire energy transition. Traders need a harmonized, predictable set of rules.
So, faced with this uncertainty, what is the actionable advice for executives?
Any executive overseeing European investments must increase their budget for regulatory due diligence. Do not assume a project approved in one EU country will be accepted in another. Your teams must analyze the national transposition of RED3I in every country relevant to your supply chain. It's crucial to lobby through industry associations for a more harmonized European approach to hydrogen certification.
All right, Troy. A lot of complex developments this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the technological barriers to cost-competitive green hydrogen are falling faster than expected. The 31.3% efficiency milestone from Germany isn't just an academic achievement. It signals that the era of affordable, decentralized green hydrogen production is approaching rapidly.
Second, industrial-scale deployment is here now. The Stegra Green Steel project in Sweden, with its 700-megawatt electrolyzer, proves that hydrogen is no longer a future fuel. It is actively decarbonizing heavy industry today, and U.S. and European companies need to secure their spot in these new green supply chains or risk being left behind.
And third, strategy is evolving from products to services, but policy is lagging. Ballard's acquisition of GeoPura shows the market is maturing towards integrated energy as a service models. However, the regulatory fragmentation of RED3I in Europe is a serious risk that could slow investment and complicate cross-border trade. Diligence is critical.
So, the recommended actions are to reevaluate on-site production models, secure offtake agreements for green commodities now, and deeply scrutinize the shifting European regulatory landscape. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The technology landscape is changing faster than ever, and staying ahead requires clear, actionable intelligence. We're here to provide that competitive edge.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with another analysis of the developments that matter.
Subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an update. Until next time, stay informed and stay ahead.